from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Well, 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 good morning. We have football today.
Football, 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 Kenny.
In the words of, in the tweets of one of our contemporaries, it has arrived. We are here. Tone, we can stop counting down on social media.
And so it begins, Kenny.
And so it begins. Football is in tonight.
Football injected into my veins.
Football. Football, hot.
Pigskin party.
Sexy football. Pigskin party. That sounds nice. Pigskin party sounds nice.
I'm trying to think about what the guarantee I will have tonight for how long I'm staying up for that. Because this one, what?
What time's kickoff? 8:20?
Yeah, this one counts.
This one counts.
Will it start by 8:20?
God, I hope so. Good God, I hope. Well, the Guardians don't play tonight, so I mean,
NFL doesn't do as much pomp before their first game as some of the other leagues do.
I thought they did like a huge concert.
Man, I think 8:20's got to be 8:20. I don't think it's like some of the other ones.
I think they'll hit 8:20.
Yeah, I think they're pretty good at that because of the massive TV deal. It's like a big thing. Like, there's some sports you have like NASCAR out of nowhere. All right, green flag, here we go. Like, it just seems to be they have like a 2-hour like green flag drops at 2:30. Yeah. Nah. Oh, yeah. We're thinking more like 3:15, 3:40. Like, it's always ridiculous. Well, it's part of the reason I don't watch as much as I used to, and I still try.
Have to sell their sport to the casual audience.
Yeah.
NFL's not doing a lot of selling.
No. They know you're
Here's
there.
What football looks like.
Yeah, they know
Here's
you're
what
there.
Happens in a game.
They know you want it. Here's your football. And so I think probably around 8:20, maybe 8:21, 8:22 is when that thing will kick off. I'd be surprised if it was much later than that. So they're gonna be on it, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to tonight.
And think about last year, the overreactions that turned out somewhat to be kind of true for one team, right? Last year, the Lions won the opener, did they not?
Yeah,
they did.
And then immediately it was the Chiefs. Do they have enough talent?
Are they in
did
trouble?
They lose too much?
Are they in trouble? Well, they had to sign Chris Jones.
That's right.
Which they took care of the next week.
He was in the booth watching.
Kelsey
the game.
Did not play in that game.
Nope. So, and then...
Oh, I totally forgot that.
They almost ended up playing each other in the Super Bowl later on. No, really, Detroit choked that game. I'm not sure what you want to say. Either way, that kind of brings you into tonight where it's like, how much do you glean from opening day or opening kickoff weekend? How much do you take from week one that carries through? Because Detroit, I remember last year, I was like, yeah, I know Detroit finished off last season really, really good. And a lot of people like them this year. And I like them too, but I just want to hold off on the love fest here. Like, I just want to be careful before I go crowning Detroit. And it turned out Detroit was perfectly well within their reason to be crowned. They were a great football team all throughout the season. Dan Campbell looked to be a good coach all throughout the season, and they ended up having a fine season last year. So what do I take away from today? Because the Ravens are expected to be a really good football team. Lamar's obviously a good quarterback. We know about Mahomes in Kansas City. They're not going away. So what really do I take away from today, depending on wins and who wins and who loses?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I do kind of think so many teams over time have scaled back what they actually do in preseason. We know the games. Like, the games are nothing compared to the actual dual practices that they have with the other teams.
Yes.
You know, it seems like they get more out of that than anything else, but still the quarterback's not really live in those settings. They're not getting tackled. not getting sacked. So Lamar Jackson hasn't played in a preseason game, I think, since 2021. Derrick Henry didn't play in this preseason. So I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, the Ravens are really, really rusty. And you do that for a quarter against the Chiefs. I mean, you are in big trouble.
That's something
they love to play with leads. You know, Baltimore's big thing is playing with leads.
Well, they
almost always are leading going into the fourth quarter.
Kansas City, and I'm sure they have their the analytics and things as well. They basically fart in the face of modernistic thinking football in a lot of ways. I don't want to be anti-brains, anti-thinking. But there's so many times where guys like us, it almost seems like we've taken the reins. Guys in the media have taken the reins over what teams do in the preseason and how there is this fear of playing players in the preseason. And I'm one of the people who I was afraid to play Deshaun Watson in the preseason. I'm part of that problem. But Andy Reid doesn't care. Andy Reid is going to play his guys in the preseason, get them ready. It does not matter to him whatsoever about getting guys ready and getting guys going. You know, the whole and I'm all a proponent of, hey, we got to keep them up and upright for 17 games, got to keep guys healthy. You had 67 quarterbacks. Andy Reid doesn't care. They're going to go for it. So everything is why they've been so successful, I think, is they've continued to make everything a competition. Everything has been a competition for them. They have tried to turn, like, I know you guys make fun of me about the preseason. It almost seems watching Kansas City, it's like, hey, you're kind of going for the gusto here. It's like, I know you got Mahomes out now, but you're kind of going for the wins here. This is crazy. So there is a method to their madness. And there's been plenty of other things that Kansas City just does things differently. They do not care about big hit pieces or being an hour on First Take or anything like that. They do not care about that. It's a different franchise. At least how they're ran right now with Brent Veach and with Andy Reid. It's just a different franchise overall. They really are a study.
And what, they've won 3 of 5 Super Bowls here? 3 of the last 5 and now the chance to go back-to-back-to-back?
Yes. Three times over. I lost count. That's how many times.
That is big time, all-time historical stuff they're going after.
For a league that has so much parity, they've been fantastic. And because they got a dominant quarterback, they got a great head coach, and there's a lot of things that you expect out of them. The other side of it is, like, this is the precursor. If you were a Ravens fan, which I actually know one now. I can't believe it. It's outrageous. I went basically my entire life without knowing a Ravens fan, and here we are. Throughout all this, there's nothing that can really be accomplished tonight. Because, like, they asked Lamar in that – we asked Bob Haney yesterday during Around the AFC North – they had asked Lamar in the press conference, is this any sort of a revenge game for you? And he kind of laughed it off in a way, because it's like, it's week one. What can I revenge in week one? If I sat there and said it's revenge, Kansas City won the Super Bowl, beat us, and went on to win the Super Bowl. We decided to throw the ball all over the place instead of running the football, where we could have won that football game. I'm saying the proverbial we. They could have won that football game. You decided to just try to throw the ball all over the yard. What can you prove here in week one? Nothing. Nothing. There's no real retribution.
I think they'll be looking to see if year two of that offensive system looks any more streamlined, anything like that. They've added wrinkles to it.
I agree with you.
If Lamar looks any better, although, you know, we've seen so much of Lamar over the years. I mean, he's not really going to prove anybody wrong or any of that until it gets done in the playoffs. Because in the regular season, he's amazing. He almost never loses in a regular season. I mean, last year, they really only lost 3 games. They sat everybody in the last game. They only lost 3 games last year. That's remarkable.
Let me ask you
this. Out of the
16
games they tried, they went 13-3.
Let me ask you this. Who do you... Do you... With either one of these teams, do you draw any conclusions on the Browns?
Oof. I wasn't going to watch.
Not conclusions.
Yeah, I wasn't going to watch tonight.
Does this affect your feelings, I should say?
I wasn't going to watch that. You know, we were wondering when we had Rodney McLeod on, and we asked him, you know, oh, are you getting excited about football on Thursday night? And what did he say? Oh, I'm going to be rooting against, you know, the team in the division. My mind immediately went to, what, you don't want the number one seed? Ironically, of course, Baltimore was the one seed last year. But I always wonder, do the players, Do they look at Kansas City and go, yeah, we'd rather play Kansas City if we have a chance. We'd rather play them on the road than at home. Rather play them at home than in Arrowhead in a playoff setting. So I always wondered if in a matchup like this, like the Browns players were confident enough that they would finish with a better record than, say, the Ravens, that they'd be like, oh, I hope the Ravens beat the Chiefs, if mm-hmm. that makes any sense.
Yeah, I guess I would, but I guess that'd be like the only thing. But other than that, I really can't take anything from it. Earlier yesterday, Deshaun Watson had his press conference, and you wanted to mention which one was it, the limitations comment?
Yeah, well, apparently there were no limitations. I mean, despite what everybody who had been to training camp and the precious few that were allowed to go to most of training camp, what he said yesterday kind of flew in the face of what people with their actual eyes had seen.
Someone very influential in my youth was from No Limit, so I can understand this. So let's see, did he say anything about no limitations here? Because it seemed that it drew umbrage from you to say that there were no limitations in the preseason with Deshaun Watson. Here's Deshaun yesterday talking about the subject.
You see, you play at the highest level at Clemson and then again in the NFL. Do you feel like you still are among the elite quarterbacks in this league?
Of course. No doubt.
He says he's elite.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting the way he answered that question. Considering how a lot of people feel about him around the league, like I would have thought somebody like him, who does, obviously, these guys all have confidence. He obviously feels like he's still one of the best quarterbacks in the game. There's been nothing to back that up in 4 years. I'm surprised he didn't answer that question a little differently.
What do you mean?
Like,
how would you like him to answer the question?
Like, I know how good I can be, but we have not demonstrated that at all here. And that's why we're excited about this season, because we think we have a chance to do just that. Like, he answered it. I don't think the people that don't like Deshaun in this town, they hear that, and I think they just roll their eyes. They're like, what are you talking about?
Well, didn't he say, but he, you're didn't like he in say
the
earlier? 20,
you're like ranked statistically in the 20s. The quarterback tiers have you in the bottom third of the league as a quarterback. Nobody is bullish on Deshaun Watson outside of maybe Shannon Sharp. And even he said he might be 85% of what he was.
But didn't he say earlier?
And he's still saying he's elite.
But didn't he say earlier this year that he didn't care about the haters anymore? The critics anymore?
The ones that he blocks on social media. I don't know what he really thinks about the people, you know, that are in his ear. I don't know how much he pays attention to it. I have no idea. He keeps his distance. You know, he's not doing a ton of media. You don't see him. For a guy that here is locally in the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, you see very little of Deshaun Watson compared to what other quarterbacks are doing in other cities.
Well, this is the...
I mean, think about Baker.
He's got Tone's ire
here.
Well,
compare it to Baker.
How many local interviews did Baker do?
But Baker was everywhere in town. It was not hard to find Baker Mayfield. So, obviously, situations are different.
Yeah.
But as far as being the quarterback, most the biggest position in sports, we talk about Deshaun Watson more than basically anybody else. We have a defensive player of the year in Myles Garrett. I mean, we have stars in this town. We have Donovan Mitchell, is an incredible basketball player in this town. We talk to Deshaun Watson more than anybody else, but he's not really front and center in this town right now.
This is really odd here, because I've kind of accepted that what we see on Sunday is what we're going to start getting, and that's it. I don't need to do this anymore. I don't need to talk about him and the way he answers questions and currying favor with fans. Have we not accepted this is what it is?
That
this is a business transaction between the fans of the Browns and Deshaun Watson? He doesn't need to say anything. He ain't going to say anything that makes me feel any better. When he says he's still one of the elite quarterbacks, I'm like, yeah, he should say he's still one of the elite quarterbacks. Do I believe it? No. I think he can be a really good quarterback, but I don't think he's top three, and I don't think he'll ever really get there
But he can still
be a good quarterback. But it doesn't matter what he says. It only matters what he does now,
Tom. I'm holding out hope as well that he can still be one of the great quarterbacks.
See, I'm...
But there's no way. There's no way anybody can look at the way he's played and the distance or the time span between the last time he's truly been a really good quarterback and then have that mesh with what he said yesterday. There's no way. You have to see that on the field. And maybe this Sunday, 425, national audience, you said the coverage map, it's like 99%.
There is like a dot on the, I think, like in the D.C. area. the 425 window. Everything else, there is nobody in the continental United States. If they're watching football at 425 on Fox, they are going to see the Browns and Cowboys. There is nowhere to hide.
And if he outplays Dak Prescott, the first story will actually be about Dak just because it's the Dallas Cowboys. But that next story will be, are the Browns for real? Is he back? Is Deshaun Watson elite? Again, that's how quickly this thing can turn. And I'm holding out hope that he can do just that. But, you know, saying that he's elite, I mean, the fans that hate him in this town, and there are a bunch, and the fans that want nothing to do with him and are ready for that contract, they're hoping they go Sean Payton on Russell Wilson and turn the page on Deshaun Watson as soon as possible. They are rolling their eyes when he says he is still elite.
216-474-0092. I guess I should say, I'm glad that you find it significant. I'm not trying to poo-poo it. I think it's right that you bring it up. I'm just saying it's the time for talk is over. There's nothing he can say that's going to satiate me and make me feel any better about any of this. The only thing he can do is play well. I want to bring that back later on, though. I'm not going after you for making a big deal about it, but there's just nothing he can say that's going to take anything away from me or make me feel anything better. It's going to have to be the play.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
All right, rough one last night for the Guardians. We'll get to that here in just a few minutes. We'll start out with Browns with the NFL kicking off tonight and a team from the AFC North. The Baltimore Ravens taking on Kansas City Chiefs. We get you ready for that. A game you can catch right here on Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. We start out with Deshaun Watson, who is cleared for takeoff. He is ready to go. We'll play on Sunday going up in a big, big football game. Kenny, you can imagine we'll be watching against the Dallas Cowboys.
Nope, I'm going to turn around and stare at the wall during the game. It's going to be a very interesting time.
I don't think Caitlin Clark is on, so you don't have to worry about that.
Will I do the thing that I... boy, she's really coming around and taking over the league right as football season's here.
Just in time.
Yeah. Because this is me, where I currently have on Saturday's James Madison Charlotte game going on my monitor right now, presented by Extend Technologies. It's football season now for me, and that's the way it goes. So I'm following what she's doing in the box scores, but
triple double last night,
another one.
Yeah, another one.
20-10. I think she's got the third most ever in WNBA history in most of a season now. What was I going to say to you about tonight's game? What was I going back to?
Well, we're talking about Deshaun and how he is ready to go. Now, I find it interesting because he said yesterday that despite all the mental reps, all the stuff with the towel, the very limited throwing that he even did all training camp long, he says no limitations.
Where they just told me any type of, you know, soreness or anything you're feeling, then just we're going to take the high roll and not try to push anything to make anything further. You know, the key is to play 17-plus games, not finish training camp and try to be a superhero at the time. So far I've been well and just taking it one day at a time.
So Brown's looking at the big picture with their handling of Deshaun Watson throughout the entire training camp process. I talked to somebody yesterday during my travels who they said they attended 3 practices, and they said, how are the Browns remotely ready to play a football game coming up this weekend? He's like, the stuff that I saw was...
Was it the last 3 practices?
He didn't specify which 3.
Maybe it was the first 3.
Yeah, and he wasn't in West Virginia, obviously.
Oh.
So 3 of the practices up here, and he said, I'll be impressed. If Kevin Stefanski can get them ready to play based on what I saw, he said, and the guy really is a miracle worker because they did not do much in the way of really getting ready in his eyes. And he's someone who covered the league for a very, very long time. Also, Deshaun Watson, and I thought this was really, really important because of all the speculation that went down when he had surgery. He says, you could say they're actually ahead of schedule.
You know, when we first had the surgery back in November, no one knew exactly where it was going to lead to. It could have been now, as we sitting here today, or it could have been a whole year, which would have been in November. It was very broad, but I challenged myself to get back to this moment right now, and I want to make every throw in the spring. I did that. I was able to make every throw that Dr. Eletrosh put out there on the table for me, and I was able to do that before spring broke. And so going into the summer and training camp, everything else was just kind of just building the strength and just building the endurance with the shoulder.
Boy, anytime we talked about
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
His timetable, and when we were hearing from all sorts of doctors and people online that claim they knew about this injury, and they would chronicle how, oh, it could take over a year, people would get so mad. And Deshaun Watson just admitted, he's like, originally they said I could be out till November.
Oh my God.
So you should. I mean, you say, "Oh my God!" But he's ready to go. He's ready to go.
The first thing, if he's not, you don't know if he's ready to go full on, because if he looks bad on Sunday, then it's going to be, did he rush the process, and are we waiting around? Well, and then it becomes an even bigger mess. I can hear guys groaning as they're driving down the street right now, going on their way to work, hearing that sentence. I can hear your groans, gentlemen.
Now, to be fair, Quincy Avery, his quarterback coach, a couple days ago said his velocity is at the highest. We don't normally talk about velocity with quarterbacks.
It was higher than
it's ever. But he said it's been higher than it's ever been in working with Deshaun Watson.
Well, remember, he did not have very strong velocity coming out of college. That was one of the knocks he had against him, which was, who the hell knows if that even mattered. I know that was one of the I guarantee that was one of the things I used against you in arguments way back when. But those were the dark ages of the show. I don't want to get into those.
Well, Deshaun Watson didn't go number one overall.
No, he didn't. He went 12th.
Like, a guy with his profile today is going to be the number one pick in the draft, is he not?
He went 12th, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
a guy with his profile today would go number one in the draft.
Meanwhile, left tackle situation sorted out, at least for week one. You get the news first from Jed Wills.
I'm not starting this week. I'm just going out there, seeing how it feels, and get back into things. It's kind of up in the air. See what I can do, and move forward from there. More than anything, pretty frustrating. But I mean, I'm doing all right mentally. I mean, it's pretty tough, but it gets tough, and you got to push through it.
So it looks like Jack Conklin is in.
That would mean James Hudson would probably be in as well. Which I put it out there. Who do you trust more at left tackle?
Oh, you got to do this to me.
Jack Conklin?
A guy who's never played the position in the NFL, right?
Oh, no. Jack has played a little bit of left tackle in the NFL.
I thought it had been since Michigan State.
No. Not started. He played a little left tackle with Tennessee, I believe back in 2017, is what Zagura said.
Oh, all right.
I don't want to misquote him. We have Zagura tomorrow, corrected. But I think he played a little bit of left tackle then, and he started 35 games at left tackle at Michigan State University.
So it's almost not a fair fight, because Wills has played the position. Now, a lot of people in town disagree the level at which he's played the position. Yeah. You have been on record consistently saying he is where, as far as left tackles go in the NFL?
Middle of the road. He's middle of the road. By the way, 422 votes right now as I put it out there, but it's early. It's 6 a.m.
Okay.
And I just put it out. Most are taking Jack Conklin.
It does not surprise me in the least.
Would be 4 out of 5 people polled right now are taking Jack Conklin.
But John Greco didn't seem to be all that nervous about Conklin at left tackle. He said
he's a veteran hand. He should be okay, but that's still... Like, Jack... Guys, why am I in a position to defend Jed Wills? Why? Why do I have to defend him? Because the hate is overly done. It is. He's not God's gift to the position. I wouldn't rank him in the top five best left tackles. I wouldn't do that. But what I'm telling you is that he's not as bad as what we make him out to be. He's just not Joe.
Has he been worth the 10th overall pick?
In that draft, yes.
Whoa, okay.
Okay.
In that draft, yeah. Yes. If you were going to go, well, in your mind, like next year's 10th overall pick, hell no. But in that draft, yes.
All right, we will get back to the Browns
okay.
in just about 8 minutes. We finish with the Guardians, who could not pull off the sweep yesterday. They fell to the Kansas City Royals, and it was 4-1. They got out to that lead, but Ben Lively, able to go four innings, gave up seven hits, four earned runs. He has struggled a bit of late against Pittsburgh. He gave up the six earned runs, he gave up another home run in this game, only struck out three. So Lively seems like he has come back to the pack while other guys have emerged. But here's Vogt on taking two out of three against the Royals.
It was a great series. Anytime you go on the road and you take two out of three, you got to be happy. Would have loved to have walked away with a sweep, obviously, but we can't complain at all with the series win on the road.
Kwan was 0-for. Again, he's down to 292. And the at-bats, not particularly... It's not like he's getting robbed right now. I mean, he is chasing stuff. Remember how great his vision was? He is chasing stuff all over the map. Like, yeah. He's not a tough guy to get out right now, which is just crazy to think about. Somebody as talented as he has been.
His third inning at bat yesterday.
I think we're talking about the same
getting,
one.
Yeah, I was getting texts about this, and I saw it when I got home. I was driving home last night. I was getting texts, talk to texts from friends. That third inning at bat was a mess. That was an absolute mess. I know he kind of made up for it in the top of the eighth, whatever, but I don't really think so. I don't know where he's at right now. I don't know where he's at right now, Tone. This is a...
They need him.
It's got to be all mental. It's all got to be in the head. He's just got to be pressing is what it is.
Right. So. The Lively part of this, you know, I'll say Lively got us to where we needed to get to this year. He wasn't a guy I had a huge, huge amount of expectation for him. I mean, did you? Were you like... Thank God we've got Lively, but he was huge.
These guys
for a big part of the season.
I think Cobb and Bibee and Boyd
and Gavin.
I think that they are starting to pick up where Ben Lively is going to leave off here. I think he is battling some fatigue. Remember, he pitched with a sleeve on earlier this year, so I worry about where his health is. I think he's trying to battle through it. I think he knows he's needed. And as that rotation, I think you start to think about what your postseason rotation is going to be. Because I'm not going to do this Jekyll and Hyde stuff with the Guardians here. You won 5 of 6. Kansas City's a professional baseball team. They lost seven in a row. They were going to win one at some point here, and it was probably going to be last night, all right? Even though you started off 1-0. I'm not going to sit there and say that the season's all of a sudden going to go to bleep. But I think there are certain adjustments that we have to make because the magic number, where is it, at 18?
Didn't move last night.
They didn't move. So we're 19 for the division?
Well, I still have 20 on my magic
20. Okay, well, that's where that might be. So if there's 20 for the magic number, but where are you at? What's your odds to make the postseason in general?
Hopefully,
have to think about this.
Oh, and whoever runs that account doesn't run the Wilford Brimley cocoon account, and we're just stuck there.
That's one of the all-time disappointments because I do not have the energy to do that
just
math.
Quickly on the Royals. The Royals are they're still going to make the playoffs. It's not like they're a bad team.
Not bad at all. They just had a terrible, terrible.
Yes, they went through their bad week, just like we did 2 weeks ago.
Lively had only pitched 88 innings, the most he had pitched, and he's at 135 this year. He's 32 years old. Fatigue. I mean, you talked about it. He's hit the wall.
They have a Brimley cocoon line calculator.
But so we just do it ourselves.
I still don't have the energy to go find celebrities.
Find out whose
so
birthday
it is. So we can do Brimley cocoon line.
Very sad. That's it for about last night.
Someone's got to pick up this account. Please. Somebody.
By trying to sell it like that that Dove Kleinman.
He's trying to sell his account?
No, that already was sold. That's why they say it's so outrageous, the Dove Kleinman tweets all the time, because it's been bought and sold.
Well,
by
somebody,
aggregators.
Somebody buy the Brimley cocoon line and run it, because in the words of Baskin, it's on-air content!
It's got to be worth a couple $100,000.
The Brimley cocoon
for
line?
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
What's your account worth?
Not very much. Browns Cowboys Sunday 4:25, and no matter what happens Sunday afternoon at 6 a.m. on 92.3 The Fan and 92.3thefan.com and on the free Odyssey app, I will offer absolutely, positively zero excuses. Can't say the same for the guy across the table. Tone, take it away.
I can cook one up if they lose the opener. I cook one up fairly easily.
Lyman did one of these things yesterday, and yeah. I said, say no more. Talk to you tomorrow at 6, and hung up on him.
Yeah, in all the conversation, every year, every time, no matter who we play in the opener, this is the biggest opener ever. And we say it every year, and I'm like, well, it is the Cowboys who play in the NFC. If ever you could lose a game and have it not be destructive, yeah, it's a team that doesn't really factor in nearly as much, and that would be the Cowboys.
Oh, okay.
That's number one. Number two.
Four.
Deshaun Watson, if he's really rusty, if he's really kind of managed in this first game and it doesn't look like the real offense yet that Ken Dorsey has installed, that's an easy one.
You say rust to a Browns fan on Monday morning and see what you get met with.
But it's an easy one. He barely threw the football in training camp.
Okay.
They barely went active. What was it? Three total practices where the real number ones were all working together. So it stands to reason that team.
Do I put that in there?
Is not necessarily humming.
Did you write three practices?
Yes, three is what I was told.
Practices were the number ones. I'm writing down your excuses.
Mm-hmm.
The number ones work together.
Okay, it's the first time Deshaun Watson has actually been live, has actually been able to let somebody lay a finger on him. That kind of means something, doesn't it?
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow have actually taken hits in the preseason games.
I'm doing this for posterity. I hope I don't need to use it. Hopefully the Browns just win.
That's good.
And we don't need to do it.
I hope you have them all written down, because when you're done, we're power ranking his excuses. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
Your left tackle will be playing left tackle for the first time in, what did you say, 7 years? That seems to be something. You don't. That'd be excuse, justification, I don't know. Would you be shocked if all of a sudden they're lining up Micah Parsons all over the place and he's wreaking havoc? So
you're already smoking copium, man.
I certainly can give you.
This show has turned into this studio is a copium den.
So if ever there was a game that Kevin Stefanski would say, you know what? Because you heard Deshaun Watson. It's not about being a training camp hero.
That's why I can't give him an excuse.
It's about 17 games. It's about having this team humming by the end of the year and clicking on all cylinders. Then it's not about week one. So I think Kevin Stefanski, if you were to get some truth serum injected into his veins, he'd say this is the least ready his football team has ever been.
So you have five excuses.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, hit the music. Am I power ranking the legitimacy of the excuses, or am I power ranking how ridiculous they are?
The best excuses. I should say.
This is good. The best.
What do you think Lima is going to go with on Monday?
Oh, this is perfect.
From 1 to 3. From 3 to 1.
So number three, the three practices, the number ones work together. That's number three. Number two, Jack Conklin playing left tackle. Number one, rust. Number one is rust. It's gotten to the point where we need to dump that word on the air. That's how much people hate it.
It is a four-letter word.
I think you could take out one of the seven dirty words and put that in, and then take that out and put rust in. That's how much people hate the term rust. You go ahead and you use rust on Monday morning and see what you get met with. It'll be the easiest show. Hopefully they win and we don't have to do that. But if they lose, it'll be the easiest Browns Monday I've ever had. Because if you're going to go out there and you're going to say, well, it's the rust and it's the Cowboys and it's an NFC game, so it doesn't really matter. Or the thing about the practices or first team reps or first live reps and Jack Conklin playing left tackle, I might put my feet up here. I might do what a former host used to do here. I might put my feet up over here and just let you deal with it.
You know, wear the shorts too?
That is insane. Yes, I'm going to wear very, very short shorts and do so. I don't have the hairy legs, though. That is insane. That is absolutely ridiculous. You can't do that. That's an insult to Browns fans. Browns fans far and wide, there are certain corners that refuse to listen to any sort of reason, and they will be fully on in and make any sort of excuse they possibly can for just about anybody. But any Browns fan out there, they know that this is the time. This is the time.
What, this Sunday?
If he wanted an excuse, this season, and it starts this Sunday.
Yeah, we all agree on this season, but we're talking about this Sunday.
But I'm not going to wait. I'm not waiting until when's the week I can start actually not making excuses
that's what
for
I get
him
to.
In? What week do we get to here,
you
Anthony?
You sound like you are saying this is life or death this week, this Sunday.
This is at least the beginning.
I don't think Kevin Stefanski thinks this Sunday is life or death. I think he thinks it's a very long season.
Well, it's a 17-game season. Yeah, I would agree with him on that. But
I think, and this is a major point here, they had so many injuries last year that I don't think in any way he's thinking, I've got to win this game against the Cowboys. It is life or death.
He thinks I have to win every game against every team.
I think, yeah, I mean, that sounds good. That sounds good in a press conference.
Hey, that's the truth.
I don't think behind closed doors, if they were playing the Bengals this week, if they were playing the Steelers, if they're playing the Ravens, totally different. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they would have actually had Deshaun play in a preseason game if that was the case. Because they're playing the Cowboys, it just doesn't factor in
so basically,
nearly as much.
You're willing to give them a mulligan?
Honestly, yeah, probably.
216-474-0092. Do you agree with Anthony?
I know.
Are you willing to give them a mulligan?
I know.
This should be fun.
I know football. I know. Universally, people are going to scoff at that.
They should.
But
it's silly.
I also know that following the rash of injuries they had last year, they know their football team is probably not, they're not operating at peak performance for week one. I know that you want them to be that way. And what you're gonna crush? What have you said since we got Deshaun Watson? What have you said about how he starts seasons?
He doesn't start well.
So now you are demanding he starts well this year when he hasn't thrown.
It's not up to me. It's up to him.
When he hasn't played. What is your honest expectation?
My honest expectation is that he's probably not going to start off very well, and they better take care of him.
And you're going to be really
mad? That's my honest expectation. I'm not going to be really mad. I got
to
tell the truth.
Well, so why are you jumping on me?
Because I have to tell the truth no matter what. Is that we are tired of the talk. I have people visibly, audibly, whatever it might be, rolling their eyes in every press conference the guy does. And basically every press conference they talk about and what the guy can do. It is time. And Monday or Sunday night or afternoon will not be the end-all be-all. There will be a week two. But I have to tell the truth the way I see
it.
I can't sit here and talk rust and Cowboys and practices with the ones and all that other crap.
Everything you have said belies that. You have just basically made it sound like this is a life or death scenario. He has to play well this week.
No, he has to. It has to begin, and they have to go out there and they have to execute as best they possibly can and get over with a win.
Teams lose week one all the time and make the playoffs. Teams lose week one.
Obviously, the Chiefs did that last year. Plenty of teams do it.
Right, they have really good seasons. So why is this game a premium or not? Does this game? How much does it matter?
I didn't put it on America's Game of the Week on Fox. I didn't have Tom Brady broadcast the thing.
So because Tom Brady's doing the game, they have to win. He has to play well this week.
You don't think there's any extra added pressure because Tom Brady is calling the game on Fox and it's on America's Game of the Week.
So they can't recover if they lose this week. It's
over.
Of
course they can recover.
That's the end of Deshaun Watson.
Of course they can recover.
Well, so you're talking out of both sides of your mouth here.
No, I'm not. I'm telling you is that if you come on the show on Monday and you offer these excuses to Browns fans if they were to lose, which again, we all in this room hope they win and none of this ends up being true, and they are favored. Is it 2.5?
Yeah.
Okay. And they are favored. If you come in here and you offer these things, these excuses to fans, God be with you. God be with you.
So the fans are expecting Deshaun Watson, after what they saw this preseason, which was nothing, they expect him to be humming.
Oh, I don't think they expect it. I think they demand it. I think
okay,
they demand it.
Well,
and you can tell me it's unrealistic.
And if they don't care. Listen, if Deshaun Watson looks great in that game following this preseason, then I will be the first one to be like, he is back.
They had
patience. Because that'll be impressive.
Of course. They had patience year one. They had a little bit of patience year two, but not really because they did boo him in games that they were even winning at the beginning of games because he wasn't doing that very well at the beginning of games, and then things got heated up, but we've been down that road a million times over. It's trampled now down to the dirt. That's how worn that path is. And they have no patience now. They have none. It's a business transaction. They're tired of the talk. They're tired of having to defend the contract, the trade, the anticipation of the future. They are sick and I think they're nervous. I'm nervous that the time that we've spent as fans in having these players who we really like, we are afraid of that time being wasted. We do not want that wasted. So we know that last year there was a lot of luck that got involved. There was a lot of things that had to come together, and they did an exceptional job making the playoffs last year. They can't expect that 2 years in a row, and they don't expect that 2 years in a row. So now it's up to him. That's the way they feel. And they will offer zero excuses on Monday morning if he doesn't perform, or if they don't perform.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.